Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So lots of exciting things, I think, coming in the coming weeks and months. Look, I think we get this rescue plan pushed through, get money into people's pockets. We then start looking at massive infrastructure spending, get people back to work. Good thing. But for me, Biden's speech on Sunday, the choice to join a union is up to the worker, full stop. That, to me, the punch of that whole speech. That we workers should have the right to join and form unions, and that the government will not be there to hinder that, but to actually encourage it. I think that is a major, major step in the right direction. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the future of labor in this country. I've asked Tim Driscoll to come talk with us. Tim is the president of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick, and good evening to you.
Sunday, Joe Biden comes out with this great 2-minute video.
Phenomenal.
Throwing a little support behind the Amazon workers who are organizing. And I said earlier, look, this is the first time in my lifetime I've had a president come out and take that kind of stance that it's time to join unions.
Now, Rick, there's so much to hold up in what President Biden said last night about the value that unions bring to the American workplace. It's hard to identify just a single line, right? It's 2 minutes of the greatest words we've come out of the mouth of a president since Franklin Roosevelt. But what stood out for me was his straightforward statement that, you know, unions lift up workers, both union and non-union. And that really cuts to the essential truth that he was stating, and one that I think the vast majority of Americans believe. You know, in the most recent Gallup survey, 64% of Americans have a favorable view of unions, and that simply reflects the reality that they know unions bring to the workplace.
No, and look, you know, the reality is as someone who's been a union member my entire working life, and I share my story with people every day, I think labor has not done a great job of touting their message. But I'll tell you, I think there's a moment coming right now where people are struggling because of this virus, where they're looking at employers who haven't taken their concerns to heart. And there's a moment right now where workers are looking for something. And this could be that moment of mass organizing, especially if we can get some legislation like the PRO Act or something to help encourage and make the process a little easier.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any more clearly. I mean, look, when workers' rights have been under attack in the Trump administration, we now have a president who's not afraid to say the word union. You know, when he said the choice of a union is up to the workers, full stop, it doesn't get better than that. So we do need to build on that. We need to take all the administrative and legislative relief we can get and make sure everyone who wants the ability to join a union can do that. BAC couldn't agree more with that. It's time to give workers their voice back, and we're proud to be in this fight with Joe Biden on that.
Yeah, as I said from the beginning, day one, Joe Biden had done more for labor than any president that I remember. On day one, by 5 o'clock, when he fired Peter Robb, to me that was a wonderful moment. In one, you got rid of somebody who was really horrible. A horrible general counsel of the NLRB, but also someone who symbolically was involved in the PATCO thing that began the heavy assault on organized labor during the Reagan years. So the symbolism and the act of cleaning up the NLRB for me was just a big part of it. And now seeing Eugene Scalia tossed to the curb and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh coming in, another huge moment.
Exactly. And he didn't stop with these surface level, efforts to clean up. After Rob was put out, his assistant went with him.
And not by choice.
Not by choice, no. But he welcomes that fight. I just can't say enough. To see the president of the United States say the word union and know where you stand is everything. It's a sea change, and we've really got to take advantage of that here.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, here's the thing. I go back to President Obama, who didn't choke on the word union either. But in the moment that mattered, and I'll talk about Wisconsin, in that moment of, you know, I'm sleeping on the marble floor in the Wisconsin Capitol while the uprising is going on. I was waiting for President Obama to get those comfortable shoes he was talking about and come out there walking with people. Didn't even mention it. So for me to have in this moment with the backdrop at Amazon, Joe Biden to take this moment, this is huge.
Absolutely. And it's not. Look, given where we've been with Trump this isn't just a reversal. This is an absolute tsunami of change that's coming on.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be in a position to try and capitalize on that.
Well, let's talk about Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston, Liuna guy, laborers guy. Other than, you know, anyone could be better than a union-busting lawyer like Eugene Scalia. I look at Marty Walsh as somebody who I think will do a phenomenal job because he's fought every battle from top to bottom. He was a guy who carried a jelly bucket to work every day. I think he's going to understand what union members go through and try and make life better for those union members and for all workers.
No question. You know, so while I didn't know or work with Marty, I hail from Boston myself. Started my apprenticeship in Boston in 1985. Marty's bona fides are long and deep. I mean, look, his qualifications are numerous. Certainly his leadership and administrative skills that he honed as mayor of Boston for the last 7 years were qualities that President Biden recognized in advancing his nomination. You know, as mayor of a city that anchors probably the eighth largest metropolitan economy in the country and who's responsible for, you know, a citywide staff of 18,000, clearly Marty's well prepared to direct the wide-ranging operations of DOL. His 16 years of service in the Mass House of Representatives and his leadership there speaks to his work. But to your point, and this is the most important one for me as part of Marty's resume, it's his deep and personal understanding of the challenges that workers face, right? And that comes from carrying a lunch bucket to work. It's grounded in his lived experience, first as a construction laborer and eventually heading up the Boston building trades. You know, he knows from personal experience, both as the son of a union construction worker and then as a union laborer himself, the benefits that collective bargaining brings into the homes of millions of workers across our country. And he's going to take that with him to his leadership of the Department of Labor. And we're excited.
No, and look, we're in a very difficult time because, you know, last number I saw, like 45% of the people who have jobs are in the gig economy right now. You know, things are changing. We need somebody who's going to be in the Department of Labor who are going to stand up for those workers. And look, you know, we've got real challenges. We've got mass inequality that's going on. We've got employers who are really almost out of control when it comes to breaking unions. And the last 4 years, as you've pointed out, the pendulum has continued to swing further and further to the side of employer power. I'm hoping that Marty Walsh is able to bring some of that back to somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're dead on with this whole notion of the gig economy because it's new and it's not really new, right? Because gig is just another word for an employer trying to put the onus of employment and everything that goes with it back on the worker. So if you take the values that I think Marty embraces, and that's, look, everyone has the right to come home from work safely, good wages for a hard day's work, health care for your family, and a secure and dignified retirement that pensions provide after a lifetime of hard work. There's no reason that can't come to the gig economy. It's just a question of imagination and commitment. And I think we're going to get that with Marty and his leadership. You know, he knows that collective bargaining has been really the linchpin to this, and he'll bring that passion with him to the DOL. And again, bricklayers are excited to be in that fight with him.
Yeah, good stuff. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Tim Driscoll, president of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. You might want to check out their website, bacweb.org, bacweb.org. We'll get links out on social media how you can check out the work that they do. One of the things that I'm thrilled about as well is, you know, Ivanka had a little pet project. Ivanka wanted to give employers a whole bunch of little apprenticeship programs that they wanted to throw out and have cute little photo ops and all kinds of things like that. Wasn't much on job training, wasn't much on quality of job training. I saw it as an attack on the building trades, on unions like yours. I want to get your thoughts on, well, what her plan was and why we're happy it's gone.
Yeah, so you're referring to what the Trump administration had deemed the IRAPs, which was the industry-regulated apprenticeship programs. But let's cut to the quick. What they were employer-dominated, quote-unquote, apprenticeship that was going to allow employers to employ individuals at substandard wages and conditions and claim that in the guise of training, this was a way for folks to advance their career. you know, we know for over 100 years, the building trades and others, the machinist, a number of unions, we've been involved with good employers, and there are good employers. Our signatory employers are our partners. We make sure that people get careers, not that they get these temporary stops at a, you know, employment agency as a way to cut costs. And yeah, Ivanka's pet project is gone, and that was also one of the early actions of the Biden administration, and it speaks volumes about his commitment to workers.
Now, in looking at this, because I'm a big supporter of apprenticeship programs, of union apprenticeship programs, because they have shown decades of quality. As where I look at the ABC contractors and their apprenticeship programs, they don't compare. This is one of those moments where I go, you know, we did pass the WIOA during the Obama administration, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, I think it is, where it called for apprenticeship programs and to be building some of those. Do you see some of that maybe coming back? Do you see going forward the Biden administration, you know, pushing for more types of apprenticeship programs to get other industries into what you guys have built?
I think so. And I think as long as it has that proper control and input from the workers, because that's half the equation. I mean, we recognize the role of employers, and we need for employers to recognize the role of, you know, worker representatives. This isn't unique to the U.S. You look over to Europe and Germany, which was oddly enough touted by the Trump administration as a model. Their workers' councils, which are a form of union representation, were key components of any apprenticeship system. And I think if you stay true to that model, I think it could be expanded to all sorts of sectors of the economy, and we should look at that.
No, I mean, we're in this moment where they're talking about student loan debt forgiveness and all of this. And I'm saying, you know, when I was in high school, going back 1,000 years ago, you know, getting into one of the building trades apprenticeship programs was a pathway to the middle class. And I remember as a kid, you know, everyone saying, no, you got to go to college. You can't do those kind of jobs. And yet the jobs that have done well for folks are exactly the same jobs that, you know, the building trades jobs, those apprenticeship programs where you got in, you actually earned while you learned and didn't get saddled with a lifetime of student loan debt. Those are still viable paths. And those are paths that I would like to see more of, especially because we're in this moment, Tim, where, and as you know this better than anyone, our infrastructure is crumbling. We got so much to rebuild, so much to reinvest in, and so much of the future to build and to pursue, that we're going to need people who can lay a brick or can spin a wire or can do any of those things.
Agreed. And look, when you have a trade, you don't have a job. You have a career. And that's something that was drilled into me from a young age. And earn while you learn is absolutely right. And the other component, and this is very true of our apprenticeship programs across the country, is they also receive college credit in conjunction with local universities, community colleges. So it isn't an either or. Individuals can pursue both. In fact, that's probably the wave of the future, right? I mean, you hear about the demise of the four-year degree. People need technical training and components. I think it's going to be a marriage of both of those things. It's going to be the path forward.
Now, real quick, I want to get back to Marty Walsh. You know, the hope is that his confirmation goes through, because I don't think he's been confirmed yet, right?
No, they haven't scheduled his vote. The hope is, if not later this week, within the next week.
Right, I'm hoping that gets through. Well, you know, what are you hoping the first moves that he makes are going to be to help right the ship at Department of Labor? Because, look, I'm talking to people from the EPA. I'm talking to AFGE members, and they're saying, you know, what they're coming across is a federal government that's been gutted and basically demolished from the inside out, and the Department of Labor being one of those as well. What are you hoping from him in his first days?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we're in the middle of the pandemic, and it is just criminally, morally, it's bankrupt in every sense of the word, that OSHA, for 4 years under Trump, had no director. No director. Fewest amount of inspectors in the field in over 50 years. That needs immediate attention, and Marty's absolutely the person for that. He showed his leadership when the pandemic hit early in Boston. I think he's ready to bring that kind of attention. It's desperately needed as we come up with some standards for how we're going to deal with, you know, the virus. This is probably something we're going to have to live with on an ongoing basis, certainly not without hopes of the vaccine, but the fact that this could be a new operating norm. But we also look for his leadership on things like pension reform. You know, the Department of Labor has a key role there to play, along with Treasury and the PBGC. Marty understands the values of pensions. He's seen it take care of his relatives, how it sustains communities. He gets it. He knows that it needs to be something that we work at in a cooperative fashion going forward and not turn into a partisan football. And certainly we're looking forward to his leadership and helping make sure the PRO Act stays on the radar and is something that, you know, we're going to continue to push through what other avenues, you know, we need to.
You know, any chance of the PRO Act passing?
It's tough. You know, I mean, frankly, look, we were hopeful that we would have gotten minimum wage into the reconciliation. And the reason I say that in this context is it would have pointed to a potential path for seeing something like the PRO Act get considered in a future budget or reconciliation package. So not dead. It's a steep uphill climb. So never say die, right?
Yeah. No. It's you know, we had Sarah Nelson on the program a week and a half ago, and she said, you know, she thought, you know, look, if it's dead, this is something we got to get angry about, and we've got to organize and fight and demand. So the issue's not dead. Maybe the bill might be dead for now, but it gives us something to fight for and to pursue and to rally around. And I couldn't agree with her more.
Absolutely. No, we do need to do that, and we need to make sure we're reaching out to our members and the general public on what that means and why it has value to them in the world they live in. Again, it's not a partisan football. This is the real world where people put food on their table,
yep,
have benefits for their families.
There you go. Lots of work to do, but some hope for the future. Tim, I appreciate you taking a little time for us, sharing some thoughts. Good stuff.
Rick, thanks very much.
Appreciate the time. Tim Driscoll, president of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. Check out their website, bacweb.org. That's bacweb.org. Quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1912. Nearly 1 million coal miners went on strike in Great Britain.